The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
So at this time, we want to welcome you today on whatever platform you may be watching from. If you're able to comment in the comment section below, if there's a place to do that, please let us know if this is your first time and where you guys are joining us from. Again, I'm Ricky Scapero, the founder of End Time Headlines, and today I want to minister for the next few moments about the God who makes what was dead come alive. This is obviously not a prophetic update today, but more of a word of preaching and exhortation. And, you know, I was sitting there while we're getting into this. I was sitting there this morning, kind of in my quiet place, just contemplating on the weekend and whatnot, and just looking over some social media feeds and things that are going on. And I'm realizing more and more and more that we have got to resurrect teaching that is going to exhort, edify, and need be rebuke. We got to resurrect messages that are full of the Holy Spirit, full of the anointing of God, full of fire and passion and zeal and conviction. We've got to get these kind of messages back. I don't know about you, but I am, and again, coming from someone who's on the front lines of this thing, I'm done with the self-motivating, feel-good, humanistic gospel that is being regurgitated from pulpits across America and on Christian television. So as I was getting to my devotional time today, I came across this scripture in Ephesians chapter 2. And when I knew when I read this from, I'll be reading from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. And I knew when I read this, I was like, this is what I want to talk about today. So this is what we're going to be talking about today. The God who, again, the God who makes what was dead come alive. I'm going to read this from the New King James, and then we'll probably stop and we're just going to see what the Holy Spirit does with this message. And you, this is the Apostle Paul writing to the church of Ephesus, and he tells the church of Ephesus, you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins. So I love this. So he is exhorting the church here, telling them that most of his church here, if not all of the church here of Ephesus, were once dead in their trespasses and sins, but were made alive by the gospel of Jesus Christ, by the Spirit of God. Listen what he says in verse 2, in which you once walked, or you once conducted your livelihood. You once conducted your purpose. You went through your life. You went to work. You lived what a quote unquote typical normal life is. You conducted your life, listen to this, according to the course of this world. Now, what does that even mean? Listen, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. So we got to stop here and talk about this for a second. Listen, I wasn't raised in church. I didn't even come from a church background. I came from a family who was broken, who was dysfunctional. My mother was backslid, once had a relationship with God, but was backslid and was turned to alcoholism and other things that I was raised up in, right in the midst of the environment of this atmosphere. So this was all alien to me. I was a foreigner to the understanding and the knowledge of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So for 23 years of my life, I was going day by day, walking in accordance to the course of this world, being controlled unknowingly by the prince of the power of the air. Now, who is the prince of the power of the air? It's Satan. And we'll talk more about the Prince of the Power of the Air and that name, that title that Paul addresses Satan as to the church of Ephesus. But let me talk about this for a second. See, most of the people that, I'd say a lot of the people we work with, people we know, they are getting up every single day and they're going through life. They have no purpose. Their purpose is, what they feel like their purpose is to punch a clock, get a paycheck, provide for their family, live for the weekends, live for the next party, live for the next drink, live for the next smoke, live for the next party, the next bar, the next club scene, the next holiday, the next Christmas, the next big break for them, the next pay raise, the next promotion. And this is their life cycle. You're born, you live a short time, you punch the clock, you work 40 days a week, you provide for your family, you provide food on the table, you try to be a quote unquote good person, you try to provide for your family. And we can't even get that part for the most of America anyway, at least here in America, we can't even get that part right. Because most of the families coming up anymore are broken homes where they don't even have a mother and father. So we think this is life. I lived this for 23 years. Day in, day out, I begin to wear myself out with sin. Come on. Wearing myself out with sin and trespasses, transgressions. I was committing these every single day, but without conviction, because I did not know God. But my body was wearing out. My mind was wearing out. My emotions were wearing out. And my checkbook was wearing out from sin and from serving the prince of the power of the air. But then that hopeful day, that blessed day came on June 2nd of 2000, when the altar call was given, where I was invited to this small church in Kentucky. I was with my girlfriend at the time, who is my wife today. We ran to the altar. I said yes to Jesus that day. And that day was the day that he made me alive. And I was no longer dead in my sins and trespasses, and I was no longer under the thumb or the control of the prince of the power of the air. Now, let me talk about the prince of the power of the air. This term is interesting because it identifies Satan as one, watch this, who has a form of authority over the airwaves. Let me say that again. When you study this out, the prince of the power of the air, it gives you an identity to him, or it gives you a more of an understanding of a element of authority that Satan has over the airwaves. Now, what am I talking about over the airwaves? Radio, television, satellite, and internet. This is why most of the stuff that Satan lures us in with, hook and baits us with, controls us, manipulates us, is through the airwaves, through television, satellite, internet, and radio. And here's a shocking part that I'm going to tell you. I believe the prince of the power of the air has even infiltrated all these areas, even in the form of Christian television and Christian radio. Now, here's the part where I'm going to make some people mad, but it's nothing new. Another day at the office. I couldn't tell you how many times I turn on Christian radio, and I'm not going to name certain Christian radio programs or stations because I don't need to, but I can name some of these stations. And to even hear the gospel is one thing. And of course, they're playing quote unquote Christian music. But most of the time, I'd say 90% of the time, they don't even talk about Christ. They talk about foolishness. They talk about entertainment. They talk about Hollywood. They talk about Hollywood stars. They talk about secular industry. They talk about what's trending, trending stories that has no relevance to the gospel, no relevance to Christ, and no relevance to the believer. Then you turn on Christian television, hoping to hear the unadulterated, pure gospel of Jesus Christ. And instead, what do we hear? We hear watered down, diluted, humanistic, lukewarm messages that are not transforming people's lives, but just basically forming them and making them into somebody that makes them feel better about themselves. Listen, I don't need a message to make me feel better about the sin I'm already in. I need a message from heaven, come on, from the throne room of God that gets all up in my business, gets all up in my business on a Monday morning or a Tuesday morning or a Wednesday morning, not just Sunday morning, but my goodness, over the Christian radio, over Christian television. Hey, come on, a message from a preacher who has spent time in the secret place, who spent time in the presence of God, who's been transforming his glory, who's stepping in, come on, stepping up to the microphone or the camera and is releasing a rhema word to the people that is a two-edged sword that comes in and convicts and pierces the hearts and the minds of the spirit of those on the other end. Where is this today? Yes, I know they're still out there, but I'm telling you, they're far and between. So Satan, as the prince of the power of the air, has managed to get his head into these avenues in which we should be going to these places to get, come on, to get encouraged, to get equipped, to get rebuked and corrected if needed, to hear a convicting message of the gospel. But he's slick, he's sly, and he uses prestige. He uses recognition. He uses notoriety. He uses wealth. He uses all these things. Listen, not only to control Hollywood elites, but also to even control many of the Christian organizations. Now, listen to this. I want to read this again. You he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sin, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. Listen to this. Among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as others. Okay, stop for a second. Notice there's two things here that I need to point out that the Apostle Paul emphasized to the church of Ephesus. Notice he said, he's talking to the church directly, and he said, you were once dead, past tense, in your trespasses and sins. Then he says, you once conducted we once conducted ourselves, past tense. So we were once dead in sins, once dead in trespasses, and we once at one time, before we were made alive, before we were born again, before we were saved, before we were raised to newness of life, we conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of our flesh and of the mind. So listen to me. If a preacher gets up behind the pulpit or on a camera behind on YouTube or Facebook or some social media platform or on Christian radio or whatever the case may be, and he gets up and he preaches a message that coddles your flesh and the desires of your flesh and keeps your mind at ease in your sin and your trespasses, he is not a worker of Christ, but a worker of Satan. Wow, that's a pretty stout thing to say, Brother Ricky. Well, I'll remind you, the Apostle Paul and the Apostle Peter even talked about this in their letters, and they warned that false apostles would come in by stealth. And no wonder, for even Satan himself appears, manifests himself, transforms himself into an angel of light. So they may be able to look the part, talk the part, act the part, look the part. They've got a big cathedral. They got a big church. They got a big organization. They got a lot of followers. It looks good. They've got the latest and the greatest. But what is coming out of their mouth? What is the gospel that they're preaching? What is it doing? Is it making people comfortable while they're dead in their trespasses? Or is it bringing a convicting gospel that's quickening their spirits, bringing conviction? Come on, we got to get back to the preaching of the gospel where sinners, you don't have to twist their arms to get them to come to the altar, if there's even an altar in your church. We need a gospel message that we don't have to twist their arms. We don't have to manipulate you by giving you a gift card to Disney World if you'll just show up on every Sunday service for the next 3 weeks. We need a message of the gospel that's, come on, like Jonathan Edwards and John Wesley and Finney and Spurgeon and many of these reformers and many of those of old, that when they preached the gospel, no one had to manipulate you or try to pull you out of the seat to get you to the altar and lead you by the hand to get you to the altar. You ran to the altar because you knew what was there, and that meeting place where he was is what you needed, and you needed him to get you out of your dead trespasses and your transgressions. Come on. That's exactly what happened to me on June 2nd of 2000. Nobody had to manipulate me. Nobody had to lie to me. Nobody had to control me, grab me by the arm, twist me, manipulate me, or whatever to get me to run to the altar. The preacher came up there and he said, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you do not have a personal relationship with him right now, then you could be separated for eternity from him and his presence. And I knew right then that what I had been searching for when I was walking the course of this world was not fulfilling me. It was leaving me empty and dry and broke and sick. And I knew that day that Christ was what I was looking for. And I ran to the altar. I fell upon the altar, weeping and crying out for the Lord to save me and to regenerate me and to wash me of my sins. And I've never been the same since. But listen, fast forward 21 years later, and I'm seeing a gospel that has come upon us, that has emerged in this final hour, that is not preaching the crucifixion of the flesh, that is not crucifying, laying aside the sin and the weight that so easily beset us. Where I'm seeing a gospel that's not preaching on the blood, preaching on the cross, preaching on sanctification, preaching on righteousness, preaching on holiness, preaching on consecration, preaching on coming out from among them and being separate, says the Lord. I'm not seeing this gospel across the land today. I'm seeing a gospel that is keeping us comfortable while we're on our way to our own, come on, death and eternal separation. Listen to this. But I got to get to verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. Listen, you should know this. By grace you have been saved and raised us up together and made us set together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, praise God, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Now, I want to stop here for a second because somebody's going to, of course, they're going to come in and interject this and say, see, we don't need sanctification. We don't need consecration. We don't need to put to death the deeds of the flesh. We don't need to mortify the works of our flesh because we've been saved by grace and not of works, lest any man should boast. Listen, you got to read on, my friend, and there's a whole lot more verses and not just that one scripture. We were saved by grace, yes, and it was not anything we did to earn salvation, but I'm going to tell you something. There was a reason why God saved you and I, and it wasn't just to keep us out of hell. Come on, let's read the next verse. Verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. You know what he's saying here? He's saying, let me use me, for example, again. Even while I was still out smoking the weed, even while I was still out fornicating, even when I had no recollection of God, no conscience of God, I was serving Satan and I was living freely in sin. Number one fight, Christ, while I was yet a sinner, he died for me. Number two, he already had a plan for me formed, fashioned, and designed, and the contract was waiting for me to say yes. And the day that I said yes, he said, I'm so glad you said yes, because here is the plans that I've had for you since before the foundations of the world. And now all you need to do is walk in it. Oh, come on, somebody. This is good preaching right here. I'm trying to tell you, yes, you've been saved by grace and not of works, but saved people do the work of the kingdom. Saved people ain't going to sit around sinning like you used to sin all the time. And if you do, it ain't going to be fun and you're going to be miserable because you've got the Holy Spirit sealed on the inside of you, who is going to keep you miserable every stinking day of your life that you're living in rebellion against God and his word. You can't walk according to the course of this world anymore. You can't walk and live in your sins and trespasses anymore. You can't conduct yourselves in the lust of your flesh and fulfill the desires of your flesh and of your mind without being convicted by the Holy Spirit. Why? Because you've been bought with a price. So now, watch this. So God, I'm born again on June 2nd, 2000. He immediately cleansed me of all my sins, my transgressions, and my trespasses. My name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Not just me, but you guys as well, my friend. The day that you said yes to him, that's what happened to you. But something else miraculously was happening. The moment you said yes to him, God at that moment began to, little by little, begin to reveal to you his eternal kingdom plan for your life. And I can even look back 21 years ago and remember when that happened, because the night I said yes, you know what the very first thing I did that same night, I'm talking about within 3 hours after I said yes to Christ, my girlfriend and I remember standing on the front porch of an apartment that I was a roommate with. I was sharing an apartment with a roommate of mine. Her and I was sitting on the front porch, and I remember having this distinct conversation with her. I said, now I have found the purpose in life. I remember saying this, now that I have found Jesus and now that I've surrendered my life to him, this is what I want to do the rest of my life. I want to serve him. I want him to use me, whatever that looks like. Now, where did that come from? I didn't hear that from a message. I didn't hear that from a sermon. I didn't hear that from a series. I'd only been saved for 3 hours. I'm going to tell you where it came from. Come on. It came from the Spirit of God. It came from the Spirit of God. The Bible says that eyes have not seen, nor ears heard, nor is it entered into the heart of man what God has in store for them who love him, but it has been revealed unto them by his Spirit. So the Spirit of God began to reveal to me that it wasn't just about saying, going to the altar and saying yes to him, and then I can go back and live the same life that I used to live. I can go back and smoke the weed with the same people I used to party with. I can continue to commit fornication with my girlfriend. Come on, somebody, I'm preaching. No. What it meant was, listen, here's what it meant. Let me go to the book of Romans, chapter 6. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as we're baptized into Christ Jesus, we're baptized into his death. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. Well, this is not what the preacher on Christian television said. Listen, if it don't line up with the Word of God, then who's wrong, him or the Word? I'm sick of people saying, well, I know the Bible says this, but I know the Bible says that I shouldn't live with my girlfriend and keep having sex with her or my boyfriend, but you know, God knows. I know the Bible calls this sin an abomination, but you know, God changes. No, he doesn't. We change. Culture changes. We compromise. Culture compromises, but Jesus Christ said, I am the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. So anytime a preacher comes along like myself and I preach the standard, I'm considered to be radical. I'm considered to be fanatical. I'm considered to be a hate monger, a bigot, an extremist. Why? Because I preach the standard of the Word of God, and I don't water it down, and I don't compromise it. Listen to this. For if we have been unified together, this is Romans 6, in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Listen to verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin, for he who has died has been freed from sin. Now I'm going to go down here to verse 11. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey in its lust, and do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God, for sin shall not have dominion over you. I want you, listen, we're going to close right here. So listen, if you're watching this today and maybe you're a part of a church or you sit under some preacher that never preaches on sin, never preaches on conviction, never preaches repentance, never preaches on holiness, never preaches on being set apart for the work of the kingdom, then I'm telling you, this is going to sting a little bit. But I'm telling you, if you'll search the scriptures out and see what I'm trying to preach to you today, everything I just preached to you today was straight from the Apostle Paul's mouth to the church of Ephesus, here written in the book of Romans. This is the gospel. And I know it may sting a little bit if you're not used to this, but I'm telling you, this is the antidote that you need today. Listen, our followers are not going to get a license to live the same stinking life that they lived their whole life, but God raised them out of, saved them and delivered them and set them free out of, so that he could raise you up and mold you and transform you into his son and daughter. And he has a kingdom purpose for you that, according to the book of Ephesians chapter 2, he created in you and purpose for you from the foundation of the world. But friends, we will never fulfill that purpose entirely and completely unless we say yes to the yielding of the Holy Spirit. We say yes to the cross. We say yes to sanctification, being set apart for his kingdom, and continue and purposely, actively, and pursue, come on, his kingdom mandate and his purpose for our life. Why do you think the Bible tells us to come out from among them and be separate? Because there's all these influences. There's the weights, there's the sins, there's the influence, there's the yoked relationships. There's all these things that Satan, the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that works through the children of disobedience, he weighs us down. You know, the Bible says in the New Testament that the whole world is under the sway of the wicked one. Satan has his foot on the neck of most of the entire populace of this planet. And you and I have been called to liberate them out from under the oppression of the devil, by being salt, being light, and the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead quickens us and is on the inside of us to do the same works as Christ and greater works. If God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth to set the oppressed free, and to break yokes, to set the captives free, to heal the brokenhearted, to open blind eyes and to raise the dead and do all this thing, I got a news flash for you. This same mandate has been passed down to you and I. But friends, how can we deliver, save, and set free a dying world if we ourselves are walking in compromise? If we have not truly put to death that old man and walking in newness of life? I don't know about you. Listen, maybe this is preaching to one person. Maybe this is preaching to you and me, and that's it. But listen, I am going to pray for all of us today. I believe we all need to hear this today. And I want you to receive this prayer today. I want you to agree with me today in this prayer. And then we're going to give you some information on how you can, if you've not yet followed our ministry, how to do that. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you for this word, and I pray that this word would penetrate deep in our hearts today, not just them, but even myself today, Lord. Lord, help us all to put to death those mortal deeds of the flesh. Lord, every weakness, every sin that so easily besets us, every weight, those things that are hindering us, those things that are fogging our vision, those things that are causing confusion, those things that are causing double-mindedness, those things that are causing us to compromise and go back and forth. Some of us are going around and around in circles because we don't know which way to go, because we're getting pulled in one direction, pulled in another direction, because we're yoked with unbelievers, but we have friends with other believers. There's this yoking of compromise. And Lord, I'm asking that by the Spirit of God, that you would help us. If we take that step forward, the Holy Spirit will help us. And he will help us to walk in the newness of life. He will help us to walk out our salvation with fear and trembling. Lord, help us to cut ties if we need to cut ties. Help us to lay aside something that we need to lay aside. Help us to put to death something that we need to put to death. Lord, I thank you that you've revealed to me a long time ago, the way that we put something to death in the flesh is we starve it out. If we feed it, it will grow. If we starve it, it will die. If we're feeding our flesh with lust, if we're feeding our flesh with these things that feed the desires of our flesh, it will grow and it will increase and it will end, it will eventually become a stronghold. But if we starve these things, if we starve the thought, if we starve the look, if we starve the direction in which we're going to feed that thing, if we starve it, we cut it off and it will eventually wither up and it will die at the root in Jesus' name. And I'm asking that you would empower us to do that today. I believe you're revealing to those that are watching and listen today, whatever that thing is in their life, whatever those things are in their life, I'm asking that the Holy Spirit would help us to live a victorious life over these things and walk in the newness of life and begin to walk out that heavenly kingdom purpose that you have ordained for us to walk in from the foundation of the world. And I thank you, Father, for this word. And all God's people said amen and amen. Guys, listen, thank you so much again for jumping on here. We're going to, again, I'm going to give you some, I'm going to give you an opportunity to follow us on some of these avenues that you can keep up with this. First of all, if you have not yet subscribed to our main website, it's endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. Again, go there, subscribe, bookmark the main website. Then I want you to download our free app. It's available on Apple and Android. You can get it. It's absolutely free. Just type in Time Headlines, download that app, get it for free, get it into your hands. Again, you're going to get all of our push notifications. You can put yes to that. You're going to get our headlines. You're going to get our podcast. You can be able to watch and listen there at the bottom as well. If you have not yet followed us on, and we're going to update this and show you all these platforms. But listen, guys, we're on Rumble, we're on Telegram, we're on MeWe, we're on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube. We're on Getter, G-E-T-T-R. This was that social media site that Donald Trump created. We're all over the place. Just look for us. Gab, we're on Gab. We're on all these platforms. Just type in End Time Headlines. Look for our official trademark logo. It's right there in front of you. It's that ETH with the where you see the four blood moons and the solar eclipse in the middle of it. That's going to be our official trademark logo. Look for that so you can make sure that's the official End Time Headlines page. And as always, guys, we want to give you the opportunity, if you've not yet supported our ministry, pray about becoming a monthly partner. Why? Because all of our messages are free. The messages are free. The subscription base is free. The app is free. Everything is free for you. We're here for, guys, our mission is to inform you, equip you, edify you, and encourage you of the times and seasons in which we're in. We don't always do messages like this. We also do prophetic messages, and we don't always do prophetic messages. We do messages like this. So we do a whole array of things. We try to stay balanced to adequately inform, equip, edify, and encourage the body of Christ. So if you believe in what we do and you want to become a monthly partner, you could do that by doing it two different ways. You can give electronically through the app or through the main website, and it shows you how to do that on the app. Go to the bottom, click donate, or on the main website, you're going to see places where you can give, or you can simply give by check or money order, and you can make that out to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391, and that's Monroe, Georgia, 30655. Now, having said that, guys, we're going to sign off for today. We'll be back on here tomorrow, and then we'll probably take off on Thursday and be back on Friday to close out the week. And when we get on here on Friday, we're going to thank a lot of our supporters who they send us letters, prayer requests, or their supporters through the mail. We like to do that because they don't always, we can't, a lot of them don't give out email addresses and whatnot. So that's why we address them on these podcasts and broadcasts. So we just want to say thank you from the bottom of our heart to all of you guys who support our ministry electronically, different ways that you give and support our ministry. You know who you are. We know who you are as monthly partners and supporters. And from the bottom of our heart, we thank you so much for your prayers, your giving, your support, and your partnership of our ministry. So we love you guys. May the Lord bless you. May he keep you, and may his countenance shine upon you. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.